Life is a challenge.
How do you get through it?
Laughing at the Dark and Dirty. We walk you through all the naughty secrets of the adult industry, and you get to be a fly on the wall with two best friends in the business of boobs.
We want to hear your dirty secrets too.
If you have stories to share, questions for us, need advice,
then send us an email to twndpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 702-900-6446. We'll always be laughing here. It's our favorite way to cope. If you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button, share with a friend, and leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. And we thank you for coming this week.
I don't know actually how long that goes. I don't think I've ever let it play in its entirety. Welcome back, one and all. Happy Monday. How is your Monday starting off? How is your week starting off? So for me, it's not Monday. It's a secret day. I honestly don't even know what day it is. I'd have to check the calendar. But that's the funny thing. I woke up this morning and listen, sleep has been difficult. And I thought to myself, I said, self, you've been working a lot. You're stressing out about a lot of things. You know what you should do? Take a low dose melatonin or you're never going to fall asleep. So I took a low dose melatonin and now I woke up not even knowing my own f***ing name. I don't know what it is about melatonin because people take it, right? But I took like the lowest dose. It's like some 0.5. It's not even a full milligram. And other people are out here taking like 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams. What does melatonin actually do? Okay, so if you take low dose melatonin and still feel groggy in the morning, what does that mean? I'm just starting off looking because I need to know why other people are able to take melatonin. But when I take it, I feel like the next day I'm like hungover. Like I can't. Oh, this is a terrible time to do the podcast too, which is like, oh God, I can't even like hold a string of thoughts together. We'll see how this goes. So best of luck to me and all of you listening right now. Let's see. Dizziness. That's cool. Important to avoid use of alcohol. Yeah, I don't drink alcohol. All right. How long does melatonin last in your system? Okay. Melatonin is a hormone that controls your circadian rhythm. Your body makes it when you're exposed to darkness. Cool. Apparently mine doesn't make enough because I'm not getting sleepy. As your melatonin levels increase, you start to feel calm and sleepy. In the US, melatonin is available as an over-the-counter sleep aid. Does that mean it's not available in other countries? You can find it at the drugstore, blah, 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 blah. The supplement lasts in your body for about 5 hours. Okay, but it's obviously lasting longer than 5 hours. So this doesn't really make sense. Okay, melatonin is produced by the pineal gland, which is located in the middle of your brain. It's controlled by, oh, this is like a lot of shit that I don't even understand, especially because I took melatonin, so now I'm stupid. Like, sometimes I will say things or I'll have revelations that I'm just like, damn, I'm actually a very stupid person. But reading all of this on melatonin makes me feel even more stupid. Can you be allergic to melatonin? It's possible to have a serious reaction, anaphylactic. Well, I don't think I have that. Are some people sensitive to melatonin? Lower doses appear to work better in people who are especially sensitive. Higher doses may cause anxiety and irritability. See, that's what I'm dealing with right now is the anxiety and like irritability and like I can't hold a sentence. I feel like when I take melatonin, I feel like when I had COVID brain. If y'all remember or if you had COVID or whether you didn't, like there's something about COVID that for me personally, I know a lot of people it affected very negatively, but for me, I didn't really even feel sick so much as I felt like asleep at all times. Like I couldn't string full sentences together. I would be thinking about something, talking about something and completely lose my train of thought when I had COVID. And luckily that was kind of the only thing that it really affected with me, just very tired, very lethargic. But that's how I feel after melatonin. And you know, we're a few minutes in now and you're like, please stop talking about melatonin. We don't care, but you should care because here's the thing. I'm trying to do stuff that I'm like, okay, I need to sleep more. So let's make sure that I sleep more. How do you just sleep without some sort of supplement? Because apparently taking supplements for me just makes me feel even worse than if I were to just like, I don't know, get like 4 hours of sleep or something. But that is why you see me before you in my pajamas. It is morning. I've had a few cups of coffee, but I'm trying to cut back on my coffee due to the whole iron situation that we've discussed on previous episodes. I'm in my pajamas. I started to do my makeup. I put on some mascara. So you probably can't even see it, but I put on mascara. And then I thought to myself, I said, self, who cares? Most people are only listening on audio. And listen, I am a human person with human issues. And I don't know what to tell you, but I have acne and I don't feel like putting makeup over it today. I don't feel like wetting all the sponges and waiting for them to dry for the certain amount and then putting on, oh, we got to put on a primer and make sure that's a plumping one. Or if you don't want to be too shiny, you got to use the mattifying one. And then you have to wait for that to dry while your sponges are kind of dry, but you can't let them be too dry. Otherwise, you can't mix together your foundation correctly. And then you got to put on the foundation. But before you put on the foundation, you have to make sure that you put on the little cover up and the concealer, because otherwise all of your acne pokes through the foundation unless it's a super thick foundation. But if you do a super thick foundation, guess what? Every fine line that you can't see when you're not wearing makeup is accentuated on your face for the whole fucking world to see while you're just covering up stuff that you're supposed to make it better but ends up making it worse. Just like melatonin is supposed to make you sleep better, but it makes me feel worse. It doesn't make sense. I need to check. Okay. I think I'm about to be on my period. Let me check. Do you love the pod? Of course you do. Do you love ads? Not so much. Do you want to prove how much you love the pod? Then join us ad-free on patreon.com/twndpodcast. Every tier of support gets you day early releases and ad-free enjoyment. The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If you want the full VIP experience, join any of our dirtbag tiers, which also gives you access to skits, photo sets, bonus episodes, and monthly Zoom chats where we sit down, reflect, share, and more. You'll also have access to Thought Takes, a mini show where I strip down and go in hard with rantisodes. What are you waiting for? Join us and be a dirtbag at patreon.com/twndpodcast. Maybe it's not melted at all. See, 5 days. Is that the time? Okay, let's learn something else today. We're just on a journey to learn today. All right, so how long before you bleed does PMS occur? Oh, 1 to 2 weeks. Okay, so not only is melatonin f-ing with my brain, so are my hormones. Isn't that f-ing cool? And apparently melatonin is a kind of hormone. So I'm just all f-ing dysregulated. And I don't know what to tell you. So this episode is going to be absolutely f-ing insane. Not that all the other ones aren't insane, but listen, I'm feeling extra f-ing aggressive. I feel ugly, and oh Molly, but you look so good. You look so, I don't care. You're just horny. You know that you can go see my boobs, so you're gonna be like, oh, don't do that. It's okay. Like, don't worry, I'll still jack off to you. I don't, honestly, right now, I don't care. I don't care if you never jerk off to me again. I don't care if you even know my name. I did a TikTok sound the other day. I was like, what do you want people to know more about you? Nothing. I don't want anyone to know anything more about me. I don't know, even know why I have a podcast anymore sometimes, to be honest. Like, I am reaching a point, things are not okay. But you know what's up about that is I can recognize that I'm like, all right, so I look at my little stupid app and it's like, here's why you're feeling this way. Why the I'm so, sometimes being a woman is just like, why are you so irrational? Like, why are you allowing this to like burst forth from your chest with and just like attack everyone around you and attack yourself? It's just stupid. And I so anyway, there's a little thing happening with Liquid IV right now too that I'm not going to address right now because I'm going to see if it ends up being resolved. But there's just a lot of shit going on this year. I don't know, 2025 is fucking on one, and to be honest, I'm pretty fucking sick of it. And I said to myself, I said, self, you're going to go out and there's this person who's trying to be a friend with you. So you're going to go be around this person, have fun. And guess what? She was f-ing sick. We had a lot of fun. I was glad that I went. I spent a lot of time in my car just like I got there way early. Okay, what is it about? Listen, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to show up not early because no one is ever like early to things. Do you know what I mean? But there's something in my brain that I'm like, if you're not early, you're definitely late. So even if I make a conscious effort to leave later than I initially intended on, I still arrive early to whatever it's going to be. But I think maybe it's because Maybe it's because my body and my brain know that if I'm going to be spending time around people, especially someone that I'm not really familiar with, I need time to myself in the car to make sure that I am regulated and set and ready, just totally fucking on it and ready to be around someone that I don't know that well, if that makes sense. It's like I will jam out in my car, you know, I'm like scrolling, I'm going through emails, I'm sexting people like in my car because I'm fucking early. And it's like maybe my body's just like, yeah, you need this time to yourself to have a minor decompressing before you go around this person. And she's great. We had a good time. But let me tell you about people. Now, listen, y'all know that I don't really go anywhere unless it's to a comedy show, right? And, you know, I'm just having fun and I'm actually making her laugh, which is sick because I'm like, okay, she also has dark humor. And it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, this meshes very well because we're both just like trading war stories, essentially not actual war, but, you know, like trauma war. And we're both laughing and having a great time. And this motherfucker, we went to this little bar beforehand and the bar is like cool because they have all like the liquid death stuff. So it's like you can feel like you're kind of in a bar atmosphere. You can have a drink and talk. They don't have food or anything like that. So it's really fun for me to just go and kind of chat with her or whoever it is that I'm going with like before a show, right? And this guy was already fucking drunk like at this little bar and just keeps like giving us these little looks like, where he's on his phone and he's just like, just like, we can see you. We understand that you're staring at us for like whatever weird fucking reason that is. And we try to just ignore him and move on. And you don't really think about it, right? All right, let's go get to the show. So we go to the show and we sit down. We start having a conversation because the show hasn't started yet. We're ordering our food. We're getting into it. We're having all the talks. She's asking about comedy. She's asking about this. I'm asking her about the other thing. And a very deep conversation. Not like necessarily like deep, deep, but you know, deep enough. Deep enough that... All right, so the guy who seats people for the comedy show knows me by now because I go there. It's like I go there quite often. And he's always just like, yeah, just sit anywhere because he normally seats people places. Now, the same guy from the bar all of a sudden slides into the row, sitting almost like right next to this girl that I went with. And he goes, sorry to interrupt. I didn't sit here. They had me sit here. And I'm like, no, they didn't. Because that guy was nowhere around. That guy was nowhere around. He didn't sit. He came, he saw us, and he decided to sit there. And then start injecting himself into a conversation. What about this says, interrupt my fucking conversation? And I'm talking, listen, I sometimes think that I don't read social cues very well. But then I realize when I interact with other people who really don't read social cues, I don't know if you're just not able to read them or if you see them and you just choose to fucking blow right past them. I don't really know which one it is. And I'm guessing that very potentially it's the latter, though if you're drunk, I don't know, maybe that all goes out the window. I don't really know. But to keep saying like, oh, I'm sorry for interrupting. Oh, da, 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 da. No, you're not. Or you wouldn't fucking be doing it. Like, don't inject yourself into a conversation that has nothing to fucking do with you, for one. And then you're so drunk that you're not even able to, like, listen to the things that we're saying. Because you're interjecting into a conversation. Because I had told her something to the effect of, like, this is one of the only places that I go. I even go to open mic nights. And he leans across her. I'm talking invading all forms of personal space. And she's just like, you know, one of these fucking numbers. Leans for you... Dude, you do open mic night? I said, no, I come to open mic night. So you do it. You go and you do the open mic for stand up? No, I come and I watch open mic nights. So you do them. Oh my God. Shut the fuck up. And so I go, no, do you? Like, that's how I'm talking by this point. Because You might think, oh, Molly, that's a little bit aggressive. I don't care. You're invading my personal space and my conversation, not listening, not picking up on a fucking cue. I don't care. I don't know you. You have no relevance to me whatsoever. You injected yourself into a conversation. Be prepared to deal with the fucking consequences, especially when I'm PMSing. And I know that you can't tell that because you're a fucking man. But I don't give a shit. I mean, no one can really tell anyway, even if you're a woman. Maybe you're just like, oh, she's a fucking bitch. And yes. Yes, I fucking am. Because being a bitch keeps you fucking safe. Because let me tell you, this motherfucker, oh, have you heard of comedy sports? And I just go, no. Oh, well, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just, this is what he sounded like for the rest of the time he was talking. Shut up. Shut up. All right? Stop fucking talking. Then This dude's poor girlfriend. I don't even know he had a girlfriend. She wasn't there, like, at the bar or whatever. Maybe she met him there. So I'm thinking that this motherfucker, maybe he's, like, one of the openers for the show that we're going to. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here and say that maybe he sat this close to the stage because he's going to have to go up at some point and blah, blah, blah. So his girlfriend, you know, comes over and he moves in. He moves in down the aisle. So he, when he shifts, he literally takes a moment where he sits onto the lap of the poor girl sitting next to me. I'm talking no spatial awareness whatsoever, completely invading all personal space. And, like, the chair's already a little bit close as it is, but not that fucking close. If you are moving over, like, there's no reason that you should find your ass sitting on the lap of a woman that you don't know. I'm sorry, or the lap of anyone that you fucking don't know. Like, just take, like, have some common fucking courtesy. And listen, this is not like a club. This is not where you're going dancing and trying to bump and grind to get your fucking nuts dipped in something. But why are you that fucking drunk at a comedy show? Why are you making it a miserable experience for everyone around you? And it's not like you're gonna fucking remember. Like, but your poor fucking girlfriend will, because she was fucking sober as shit. And this poor girl, the girl I was with, I scoot my chair out a little bit. I'm like, hey, like, pull your chair over this way, you know? And it's just like, still with his girlfriend there, trying to, like, involve in our conversation and all this shit. And she's just quiet. Like, she's not really saying anything. I get up to go to the bathroom during one set. I come back. This dude is gone. His girlfriend's still there. And I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, so this makes sense. He's probably going up to be an opener. You know what I mean? He doesn't come back until, like, the last few minutes of one of the other opener sets. And I'm like, all right, this dude is sitting with turned out into the aisle like this. And if you're not watching right now, go to youtube.com/@twndpodcast so you can see what this motherfucker looked like. I'm talking fully taking up, like, the middle of the aisle, leaning out over like this and almost like hork dry heaving, but not quite. And y'all know how I feel about vomit, right? Then his girlfriend, like, touches his back to be like, kind of like, oh, are you okay? Like, trying to keep things quiet and, like, kind of like almost yells something at her, but, like, yelling under your breath, you know, so you don't get kicked out type of thing. And just being a fucking dick to her, which I'm already like, all right, motherfucker. But I'm looking down the aisle like this. Yeah, just fucking dead-eyeing motherfucker, because I don't give a fuck. You know, I used to try to hide my facial expressions, and then I realized that for the most part, I'm not really hiding them anyway. Or I would just, like, not look at someone in general because I don't want to start anything. But at this point, I want to fight this man. I'm like, you are treating your girlfriend like shit. You have interjected yourself into the conversation. You have sat on my new friend. You have sat your drunk ass on my friend. You, like, you are such a fucking asshole. And I catch the eye of the girl I'm with, and I realize that I'm making the intense face, you know what I mean? Luckily, they ended up leaving, but his poor girlfriend had to, like, drive home with him, I'm sure, but he kind of, like, rages out of the room, and I'm just like, it makes me so happy that I don't drink anymore. And not that I was ever, like, necessarily, like, to that sort of level. Like, usually when I would get too drunk, right, I would be very, very, I'm talking obscenely self-deprecating, where I'm just yelling, but it's about what a piece of shit I am, which is, like, also not healthy. But just seeing that in action also just gave me this twist inside of my chest, inside of my gut. And I just wanted to fight this guy because it just reminded me the way that he was treating her and had all of this bravado, like,
just thinking he's like the bee's knees and the fucking, he's just the shit. He's just a fucking man. What a fucking alpha. I'm a fucking comic. No one gives a shit. No one knows who you are. No one's heard of fucking comedy sports. Like, don't, it reminded, every time I see a guy who's drunk like that, and this is like, this is no hate, like whatever. Maybe it is hate. It is fucking hate. You know what? It's hate. I don't give a fuck. Giving hate. It's giving hate. Because it reminds me, if you carry yourself like that as a man or a fucking woman, and if that is how you present yourself when you are drunk, you remind me of my ex-husband. The amount of times that I would have to try to like talk him down from like, oh, like maybe like let's not drink that much right away, or oh, well, like now I have to drive home, or to try to like prevent him from driving home because, oh, I'm such a bad fucking driver, so well, it doesn't matter because even if I'm drinking, I'm still gonna be a better driver than you. It's like, dude, you can barely fucking walk. I'm not letting you drive me home, and I'm not like getting involved in this. And the amount of times that I would have to like babysit and try to regulate and then just get shit on by this person that is supposed to apparently love me and that I'm supposed to love and help, and then just getting treated like shit because you couldn't hold on to your fucking alcohol and be a responsible fucking individual, and you need a fucking mommy to sit there and hold your fucking hand. Just, and I don't understand. And it's the thing too that I look at now and I'm like, the times that I would be super fucking trash, like I don't remember any good moments from them. You're shutting off something in yourself. Like we talked about with Stella, and I say we because it's like the collective, everyone who listens, like we have that conversation, you know what I mean? Because you're a part of it. You got to listen, you got to watch. But it's one of those things that you... I forgot what I was talking about. Fucking melatonin! Fucking hormones! What the shit? So anyway, it pisses me off, and it brings me to this point of like, okay, here's what it was. You're not fully invested in the moment. You're not enjoying the moment. You're taking a moment that could be an enjoyable time that you have, and a memory that you can share, and a memory that you can look back on fondly. And instead, you're either not going to remember it, or you're going to have some weird twisted alcohol memory of it that isn't indicative of what actually happened or what actually transpired, how you actually felt in that moment. Like it's fake. It's just a fake representation of your fucking life. And I'm not saying, oh, don't drink alcohol. Don't ever get drunk. But what I'm saying is like, can you look at the person that you are when you are trashed like that and then actually be like, yeah, I'm a good fucking person. Maybe you can. I fucking couldn't. Like by the time that I forced myself to really look in the mirror and evaluate myself from the inside out, when I was someone who drank as heavily and as often as I did. And I came to realize that I'm like all these things that like really just caused so many issues in my life were because of alcohol. I'm not saying that everyone has a problem with it, but I also like, it's like I said with Stella, I even find it hard to be around the people who are having a drink. And now one drink, two drinks, that's fucking fine. Like whatever, maybe you can like not be a shitty person. But I feel like there is that turning point when it just gets to a point like, is this fun for you still? Like it didn't ever reach a point of like, for me, it was always like, if I could, I say like way too much. Like I just said it again. I really say like way too often, but it's because my mouth moves faster sometimes I think than my brain, or maybe it's the other way around. And so while I'm playing catch up on either end of it, it's like, shut up. It's like, shut the fuck up. Just learn how to say words that string together in a full fucking sentence. Maybe you could try doing that. Maybe that's what it's fucking like, you stupid bitch. Anyway, so maybe if you're having these moments and you're using alcohol to turn off your experience with the world around you, perhaps it's time to evaluate why you are doing so. That's all I'm saying. And on the spirit of this rant finally coming to its conclusion, and no one's listening anymore, so it doesn't really matter, I wanted to introduce to you, not an affiliate yet, but they did send me some samples to try, and I've tried one already. And now, as I'm someone who no longer drinks, the funny thing is, I've gotten to a point that I think I was realizing that like weed definitely helped me quit drinking in a way, because when I would get really dark, like, and I've said this before, but like smoking a little bit of the ganja would kind of help slow my brain down a little bit and help me like think about things. But
I was also starting to use it to a point that I was like, oh, I'm also now using this to numb in other ways. So I definitely don't smoke weed as much as I used to either. However, what I do really like are these drinks called Can. And they don't, I either they don't make them anymore, they don't carry them anymore. But get Soul. I'm so excited. So I've actually tried one of these before. I tried the raspberry lemonade one. They sent me two little six packs, and they're sick because they're really low THC. So you have 5 milligrams of THC, 10 milligrams of CBD, only 30 calories, and no glutens. And I'm not afraid of glutens, but some people can't do glutens, which is good to know. And these kind of remind me of the drinks that I used to really like because the flavor isn't like overpowering. Like it's not some, it doesn't feel like super sugary. Do you know what I mean? And it's just a nice little boost that you can kind of sip on throughout the day. And because it's morning and because my brain is already fucked from melatonin, I want to crack one of these bad boys and have a little sipsies because I haven't tried the cucumber melon lime yet. And I didn't know that you could just like, so apparently they can only send within the USA. But if you're in the USA, I don't have an affiliate code or anything like that, but I actually would recommend giving them a try if you're interested in trying some, you know, THC CBD drinks, because it's a nice little alternative to alcohol if you're someone who perhaps likes to go to parties but you want to cut back on your drinking a little bit. And I don't know necessarily how THC affects you or anything like that, so I'm not going to like give you any recommendations. All my recommendation is that they taste very, very good, and there was a very, very light, it's like it took a little bit of an edge off. So I'm not feeling like, oh my God, I'm in a different fucking universe. Now, granted, if you drank all six of them at once, yeah, you'd be in a different, you'd be in a different universe. But yeah. So just check out Get Soul. I think it's getsoul.com. And let me know your thoughts, because I'm going to let you know my thoughts right now on the cucumber melon lime. Because... while I may be in office, these out of office drinks slap. And honestly, I'm never out of the office because my home is my office. Bitch. Bitch. What does this remind me of? Hang on. Oh my God. This is reminding me of some sort of candy. Okay. But you know what this really does remind me of? Okay. So I went to a spa once. Well, I've been to the spa more than once, but this particular spa had those big pitchers of like filtered water and then all the little cucumbers and limes that are inside of it. This really does remind me of those beautiful, beautiful spa drinks. Mmm. Fucking delicious. Damn. I really like that. Hemp-derived THC beverage. I would honestly give them a try. I know that some of y'all, oh, we can't get this and whatever, but apparently it's legal to ship within the US. So if you want to give it a try, head over to Get Soul. I think it's getsoul.com. Let me check that to make sure that I'm sending you to the right place. Yep, it is getsoul.com. I don't have any codes for you or anything like that, but they're priced pretty fucking well. The taste is both good. I tried the raspberry lemonade already. I haven't tried any of their gummies or anything like that, but I specifically requested the drinks when they said they wanted to send me something. So thank you very much, Get Soul. I really, really like them, and I'll be drinking all of these to myself, and I'm not sharing them with anyone because I like them. So now we're about 27 minutes in, probably a little less than that because I started recording and sang David a little song before I actually started. But while I had my little rant moment and got that out of the way, I wanted to get back to an email that I received from Naman. So let's take a little peek. Hi, Molly. I like to watch catfish sometimes because it fascinates me that there's still people out there falling for it. Same. You don't have to talk about this on the pod because of how crazy insane it is. I am going to because I need crazy insane. But there's an episode where this guy, Paul, who met a girl, Katie, online playing Xbox when he was 16. For 2 years, they were together only via phone calls and texts. So together is in quotation marks. And in this instance, she was the one sending him things like video games or an iPod and other gifts. All right. Eventually, Paul cut it off because Katie would never get on video chat. 10 years later, he finds her on Instagram and messages her, but she says she doesn't know him. Oh. So he goes on the show to find out who he was talking to. Turns out he had been talking to a 40-something-year-old woman at the time named Martha. Martha, no. Now, this is where it gets insane. Martha was catfishing Paul, pretending to be her own 18-year-old daughter, who is the real Katie. Martha would even send him photos of her daughter by going through Katie's phone and sending them to herself, then deleting the sent messages. Even the nudes Katie had. I mean, full body, even with her face. Oh, my God. Fucking insane and disgusting, the depravity of this woman. Katie said she found out about it 2 years before the episode aired and worked out things with her mom, but still fucking wild. There's no fully recovering from that, and I felt so, so bad for Katie especially, and also Paul. By far the craziest one I've seen, and for sure the craziest one there is. It's beyond shocking this woman even thought to do this to her own daughter. If anyone wants to watch it, it's season 8, episode 32. So, that's fucking insane. I started to read a little bit of that before I started recording because I wanted to kind of like see what we were dealing with. And I didn't read as far as figuring out that it was her own daughter. But reading that, my God, you think that's the craziest one? Because y'all know, if you have listened by now, and maybe you've missed this in other episodes, but I live into true crime. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I like true crime. It's what can I say? Learn about a little murder, learn about this serial killer that happened and all this dispute. And sometimes there's stuff from, I listen to Morbid Podcast. So shout out Morbid Podcast. If you've never listened to Morbid Podcast, highly recommend it. They are really, really good at getting a bunch of information on all these kinds of things. But one that I listened to recently, I've been all caught up on recent episodes. So I've been going like way back in their archives. And I was listening to one about the Tall Hot Blonde murder. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever heard about this before, but it was fucking crazy because, holy shit, it is in line with this, but you think this is bad? This is so much worse. So, let's get into it. If you want to listen to this episode, just search, I think it is called like the Tall Hot Blonde murder or something like that. If you search Tall Hot Blonde Morbid Podcast, it will come up. Listen to it because they go in so much more depth than I can give you here. But so essentially what it boiled down to was this guy who had a whole ass family and everything, like ends up going on these chat rooms, ends up starting to talk to this girl who says that she's like 17, I believe it was at the time, starts forming this like online relationship with her, creates this whole story. So this guy used to be in the military, used to be a Marine or something like that back in the day, starts telling her that he's basically her age and that he's in basic training and he's doing all this and has all these missions and blah, 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 and going back and forth. So they develop this online relationship and she thinks that she is in a relationship online with someone who is her own age, who's this like hot young guy in the military, right? Going back and forth on it. So, but this guy is like in his 40s talking to a supposed 17-year-old. So it goes on, it ends up getting found out. Like, I think it was his daughters, they had said, who actually like found him messaging with this girl. And he had like been sending her gifts and she had gotten him a chain that was like, you know, whatever the guy's name was, plus her name, like on a little chain or whatever. I can't even remember her name. So definitely go listen to this episode if this sounds interesting to you at all, because I was like just the whole time just sitting there with my face like, what the fuck? So his daughter's end up finding it. His wife calls him out on it. And his wife actually reaches out to the girl that he's been talking to, like, hey, he has this whole ass fucking family. He's not this young guy. He's like, this is what he looks like now. And he's like bald and shit. And she's like, oh my God, like I'm so blah blah. So in the same gaming chat rooms and whatever that they're talking on, she ends up also being introduced to someone that this guy works with, who is a younger guy. He's like apparently in his early 20s or something like that. And these the girl and this guy from this other dude's work start kind of hitting it off, right? And they're going back and forth and they're chatting. They're like, wait, this makes more sense because we're actually like each other's own age. So they start forming their own little thing. This other guy that was initially talking to her gets fucking pissed. He's like, what the fuck is this? That was my 17-year-old, because I'm a fucking creep and I have a family and I don't give a shit. Like, just fucking insane. So he tries to be like reaching out again, like, oh, I can't live without you, blah blah blah. And she's like, no, I'm with this guy now. And it's like kind of taunting him a little bit, but then starts telling him how, oh, she does want to be with him and let's try it again, but then cuts it off again and goes back with this other guy. And now keep in mind, none of these people have met. None of them have met. Not a single person. Not the two guys from work. not the girl in the online forums. This dude, the initial guy, the initial 40-year-old ex-military dude who was talking to this girl, spinning all these tales, he went as far as to pretend that he was his own dad to talk to her. It's insane. You need to go listen to it. This dude ends up killing the other guy that she has started a relationship with. The guy from his work. He fucking kills him. He murders him for a girl that he has never met online. Whole ass family murders the guy from his work for being in an online relationship with a fucking girl. Apparently by the time this happened, she's only like 18 or something like that. You are in your fucking 40s with a family. What the fuck? So the cops are going through. They start to figure this all out. They're piecing everything together. They find the girl's address from like searching through like the documents and the chat history and I guess like stuff that they had sent each other, whatever. And they go to her house and it's like her mom answers, right? And they're like, do you know X and X, like whatever tall hot blonde's name is? I can't remember. And I wish I did. And she goes, oh yeah, that's my daughter. And they're like, well, do you have a way to get in contact with her? And she's like, no. What? You don't have to wait. Is this my mom? What are we talking about? So she's like, no. And they're like, you don't have a way to get in touch with your own daughter? So they're like, okay, because we're looking into this like murder thing. Because your daughter was talking to this like old dude who's kind of being a bit of a predator right now. And he fucking killed a guy. So she starts breaking down. It was her mom. Her mom was, like in this situation, using photos of her that she took. She was sending this guy, and I'm talking before she was technically 18 or whatever, sending this guy photos of her daughter in a bikini, upskirt photos, like sexting him, like all this kind of really naughty shit as her fucking daughter. What? What the fuck? And then comes out like at the end of it, she like never apologized to her daughter. Her daughter like completely fucking X'd her out of her life, which I completely fucking understand. I not forgive that kind of shit, but she just never apologized. She's like, yeah, this is like a thing that it shouldn't have gone that far. Dude, it never should have started. You never should have started sending photos of your fucking daughter to some old dude on the internet. What are you talking about? It went too far. Oh, yeah, you think? Some dude's fucking dead because you had to get fucking horny and use photos of your fucking, you're like exploiting your fucking child. What the fuck? I can't. It blows my fucking mind. It doesn't make any goddamn sense to me whatsoever. And then to like never receive an apology. It's just like, fuck. But I mean, I guess that just goes to prove, doesn't it? That like, there's this weird thing and it's not, I don't even know if it's like a weird thing necessarily, but it's like when something bad happens to you, right? And it's like, I can even relate this back to whether it's my own relationship with my mom, not that my mom ever did anything like that. I'm not saying that. So don't like come up with some weird fucking ideas of your own. The reason my mom and I don't talk is none of your fucking business for the most part. So, I mean, or at all. I choose to share what I choose to share, but my mom never used photos of me to like exploit men on the internet. So that's cool. Good on you, mom. So, but it's a thing with even for instance, like getting out of an abusive relationship or having a friendship that ends or whatever. It's like, you want that closure so fucking bad. You're just like, you want to know, like once you see it on the other side, and you've set boundaries and you've done things for yourself that you're like, oh, I'm choosing to respect myself in the situation. You just, there's a part of you that's just like, I, all of that time, all of that energy. And like, and I don't get an apology. Like, I want an apology. I want to know why you did the things that you did to me. Why did you choose me to do the things that you did, to say the things that you did? Why, what was it about me in the situation that caused things to end up like this? What was it about me, like to Max, that was like, oh, I'm going to pick her and I'm going to sexually abuse her. I'm going to mentally and physically abuse her. That's the one. That's the one that I pick. And I'm going to completely tear apart her mind from the inside out. I'm going to worm my way in, right? And this person who could have just like loved me and like respected me and all this stuff, I'm going to weasel on in there. I'm going to slither on in. And I'm going to make her think that I fucking love her. And then when I'm in there, I'm going to twist everything. I'm just going to twist it. I'm going to squeeze it. I'm going to pull it apart. I'm going to rip little pieces off of here and discard the parts of her that make her who she is so that I can form her into a person that does everything that I want while she fucking hates herself. And I'm going to get off on that. I'm going to get off on the power and the fucking control. And instead of having a relationship that we both benefit from, only I will benefit. But even I won't fully benefit from it because I'm locking away so much of her potential. Like, and I know, and I've said this kind of stuff before, but that's not like all my ex's fault, right? Because there was a point where it's like you have to admit personal responsibility for the things that the choices that you made that ended up putting you in that situation. But it's not it's not my fault that he did those things, if that makes sense. Like there's so many things that I could get into that I probably just shouldn't, or even like wanting an apology from my mom for just pretending that I don't fucking exist. I'm never going to get that. And I'm never going to get an apology from my ex for the things that he did. I'm never going to get an apology from these friendships that ended, because if you were actually going to get an apology, you would still and have an apology that actually matters and that people prove by doing better that they are actually sorry for the things that they've done. You're not going to get that. And if you keep trying to pursue that, you're just going to keep getting the same old sorries that don't fucking mean anything. Honey, what does it make you think of? Sweet, delicious, sticky, licking it off your partner? If you want to have fun with a special friend or are someone who loves self-pleasure, Honey Playbox has the toys for you. Use our code TWND to save 15% on your purchase. Amp up your playtime at honeyplaybox.com. You deserve pleasure, so elevate your experience with Honey Playbox and support our show by using code TWND at checkout. Watching podcasts is fun. Watching reruns, also fun, but nothing beats a live experience. Check out our friends at Jerkmate by going to jkmte.com/TWND. Every sign up helps our show. Don't jerk alone. Get your front row seat to live events. Try a gold show from the comfort of your couch. Check the show description or go to jkmte.com/TWND to try it out. And then it reaches this point that they're so fucking sour that anytime anyone is like, oh, I'm sorry about that, you're like, well, are you, or are you just going to end up doing it again? And then you have this weird thing that goes on that you're like, I don't even know if I can, much less accept a compliment, but definitely I don't know if I can accept an apology. And it's like you try and you really want to, but things get so twisted inside. And there's so many things that I could talk about like regarding this. And sometimes I don't know. Here's the thing. It's like sometimes I don't know what's good to share, what's too much to share, like what's too much for people to consume. Because sometimes like I feel like I make jokes like kind of passively about things that have happened to me, because that's a way that I deal with and process things. Because if I look at it from a scope of just, oh, this was so serious and blah, 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 and I know that it was very serious and I've dealt with that in therapy, but even in therapy, I'm like trying to make jokes because maybe that's unhealthy, maybe it is, but I find it healthy for me because it helps me to process the shit that I have climbed through in my adult life. And that doesn't work for everyone. And it is a turnoff for some people, and that's cool, whatever. But like, I've even had some serious conversations with a photographer that I've worked with quite a bit recently. And she was, didn't really know a lot of the backstory. And so we had a long drive to shoot, and I was kind of like talking to her a little bit about this and that. And she's like, oh, like I had no idea that all these things happened to you. Like I thought that you just kind of like chose this industry and like did all that. And I've mentioned this before. I do not hate the industry. It's not the industry that did things to me. It is the person who put me into the industry. And I have now made it something that I really like and I really enjoy and I really love and I love to do. But it did not start out that way. And, you know, we kind of got into a bit of how do you say this, like sexual trauma and abuse and all of that kind of stuff. And she's like, I think that a lot of people could benefit from the stories that you could share, essentially. But sometimes I don't know what is too much to share. And it's not necessarily that I have a problem talking about it, because I feel like I've talked it over a lot in therapy. I've had a lot of time to reflect on those things, and I don't allow myself to be put in those situations anymore. And now I do find a deep level of respect for myself that I haven't had in as long as I can remember. Like I am much better at setting boundaries with people. And this is not just even sexually, but just in general, to not allow myself to be put in those situations. Or if I get a weird vibe about someone, I follow that and I actually listen to it. I don't give people, I no longer give people the benefit of the doubt. I just don't, because I did for so long, and that did not serve me well at all and caused a lot of issues in my life. So I don't know necessarily, because it's like sometimes I'm like, oh, like I could share, like I thought maybe about doing a little segment on like safe sex or the things that have happened and this and that, but sometimes I go in and I start thinking about all the things that have happened, and I'm like, to be honest, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know if people would find this beneficial. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe if I had been in a place to listen to other people's stories, maybe it could have helped me get out of a situation faster. But one of the unfortunate things is when I was in one of those situations, it wasn't like, oh, this is what I want to do, so I'm going to go listen to this podcast now and like get a new perspective on something. It's like, here's what you listen to. You don't have any alone time. You have to be around me all the time. If you're not around me, you can be sure that I'm going to be messaging you to see when you're going to get home or make you feel guilty for being out and away from me. Like, there was no time. By the time I ever had any time on my own, I was just like processing the simple fact that I was alone. And it's like, I didn't want to learn anything else. I just wanted to eat fast food and like sit in my hotel room, drink some wine before I got to go to a shoot, and like, and just like feel for a moment like I was myself. And I think, I don't know, maybe people could benefit hearing from it after the fact. I mean, I guess I definitely did, but it's one of those things I don't know where to start, because sometimes I'll be telling people things, you know, that have happened or whatever, and it just gets like progressively weirder. It gets to the point that I'm like, do people just think I'm making this up? It's like imposter syndrome for your own trauma. You're like, wait a minute. But I don't know if it's something that y'all even want to hear about. I don't know if that's going to like create some issue. But like, oh, I can't buy your content now because I don't know things that happened to you. It's like, but that's not who I am anymore. And I think if y'all have any questions, I'd definitely be down to answer and talk about those kind of things, because I definitely don't shy away from it. If people are going to ask me, I'm going to tell. Like, it's just one of the things. Like, I don't think that I'm not out here to be like, oh, here's the names of this and that, and here's exactly where this happened. And it, because I'm not about outing people. And like, I know that there's this whole thing, well, you should out them. But for me, it's one of the things of like getting an apology, right? You're not going to get an apology that actually fucking means anything. And by calling someone out by name and giving all of these supreme details on this person, all that's going to do is welcome them back in. Do you know what I mean? And it's in a way that's like, it's not necessarily, I have to talk to this person, but it's like, word gets back to people. People start getting pissed. People try to create drama and try to spin their own narrative on how things are going. And I don't, everyone's always going to spin their narrative however they will. His mom definitely fucking did. But I don't need that, because I already know what happened. I lived it for fucking years. And I just don't think that there's, personally for me, any benefit in being like, here's the exact details of like this person, so come for him, you know, fucking rip down their doorways and all this kind of stuff, because that doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit anyone, and it just creates a lot more issues. But one thing that I would say, because I know I've talked a little bit, especially when the whole Roe v. Wade thing was overturned, I did that solo episode in Australia ages ago, and I got into things a little bit, but I think that, I don't even know where I'm going with this anymore, but someone said I should talk about it, so now I've like been thinking about it, but I don't really know how to approach it or to get on to that level, especially when I don't have like a guest to talk to, and then I'm just like sitting here talking about getting sexually abused. I don't really know if that makes for a good podcast or not. And then the other funny fucked up thing, well, it's not really funny, but it's not like funny haha, it's like funny like, oh, like what the fuck. If you are a woman talking about something abusive that a man did to you, not in all cases, not all men, but the overwhelming amount of comments and interaction that you get that's just like, oh, that never happened. Oh, add that to the list of things that never fucking happened. Oh, everybody just wants attention. Oh, you're just another girl who wants attention for your... It's like, no. It's that... It's one of the things, even if you're not giving out things by name, it's like, you don't want... You don't want to feel like you were alone in the things that happened to you, because when you're in those moments where things are happening to you that you do not feel that you have control over, you don't want to feel alone. And you feel so fucking alone. Even with the person that's supposed to be your everything, you feel completely fucking alone. You feel like a husk of a person. You question if you are even real, if this is even something that's happening to you. And they make you, do you hear my stomach growl? And they make you question, like, you're like, wait, like, am I crazy? Like, am I overreacting to these things? Like, as you have, like one of the sides of my jaw is different than when I was younger, because it was hit so aggressively that it literally like changed the shape of my jaw. I have a scar in my back that I've had people be like, what's that from? That was from a glass tumbler from a whiskey drink being chucked into my back. So it's like your brain likes to shut off a lot of things to kind of protect you from what has happened to you. But one of the fucked up things about that is you're like, fuck, like, did it actually happen? Am I blowing it up more in my head? But then you see the things like that and you see like, oh, this is why I like to pose the side of my face more, because the side of my jaw is different than it used to be. And now it's like looking at a different person, even though I've had it for so long. Or you see the things like the scar, you feel it when you're putting on stuff and you're like, okay, these are things that actually fucking happened. And I shouldn't have to diminish it because people think that I'm making things up or that other women are making things up. It's like, who are you to tell someone what happened to them? Were you there? Do you know? Just because someone is saying that a terrible thing happened to them doesn't mean that that's reflective on you. Doesn't mean that you are the one who did it or that they're accusing you of doing it to someone else. So where is the problem? What is the problem? Because I don't see women doing this when other women are like, oh, here's this terrible abusive thing that happened to me. I don't see, and I'm sure that it happens, but I don't personally and haven't personally witnessed women being like, oh, well, you're just making that up. You just want to do it for attention. I haven't seen that. I have seen that, however, from men. What is it about someone else sharing their story so that they can feel less alone in the things that happened to them that sends you into such a rage that you have to question their story? Like, that speaks on you in an entirely different way, because, you know, it's just, it really doesn't make sense to me. It's like, so you are choosing not to believe that something really shitty happened to someone because you didn't actually do it or you didn't see it happen with your own eyes. That's the kind of fucked up thing about domestic violence, is you don't typically see it with your own eyes because it's behind closed doors. And because it takes, if you are able, and thank goodness, if you are able to get away from a situation like that, it takes years just to be, maybe comfortable even discussing it. It took me years just to get into therapy to start processing it. And that opened up a whole other can of worms. Like, it takes so long just to heal a minutest, the tiniest amount from the shitstorm that you came out on the other side of, looking like a battered fucking just crazy person. Because you're just like, who am I? Who am I outside of this thing that someone was controlling every aspect of what I do, down to the way that I thought, where even how I thought was wrong. I remember there was times like I ended up going, we did this like tour fucking thing in some foreign country. I think it was New Zealand. And I would try to talk and like have a conversation with the other people who are on a tour, because it's like you go on a tour and it's a bunch of other people and it's a multi-day tour that you're going on. And I would, my partner would literally shut me down and be like, shut up. That is, like, you don't, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. And we get to the point that I didn't talk almost this entire trip. And that would be in most situations. Like, there was not a thing that I could say unless I'm just like, yay, what you're saying, yay, that I could just be my own fucking person. One of the beautiful things about my new relationship is I have never with another person felt so encouraged to just be whoever the fuck I am, whatever that is, whether it's like, oh, you're being hormonal right now, like, cool, like, let's deal with that. Like, what do you want to do? What do you need from me? Like, oh, you're writing a book. Let me read it. Like, I'm so excited to see the things that you're working on. Oh, I love how excited you are about this thing. I love the way that you like freak out over things. I love the way that you rant about things. I love your opinions, even if I don't agree with them. Like, just be who you are, because I love you for who you are. We all have bad habits, and breaking them is hard. That's where Fume comes in. You've probably heard about Fume, but you might not know what it is. Fume is a flavored air device. No smoke, no batteries, just a beautiful reminder to breathe easy. So if you have a bad habit that you're trying to turn into a good one, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND to get a discount on your Journey Starter Pack. That's actually what Fume sent over to me to give a little taste test. And currently I am, well, not puffing on because there's no smoke, but I am breathing Peach Blush, which is actually, see, no smoke, a delicious flavor that I am very excited to be sipping on, as it were. I'm definitely trying to break a few bad habits of my own this year, and I think that Fume is a great place to start with that. I am an oral fixation girly. I always have to have something in my mouth. I was chewing on my fingernails for ages and other bad habits that we don't want to talk about. So if you want to join me on my journey to quit a bad habit and also help support the show that you love so very much, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND and let me know your experience, because I am excited to turn my bad habit into a good one with Fume. Tryfume.com/TWND. And even with friendships, that is something that I have very rarely found. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, like you need another person to make you feel this way, but I was very lucky in the fact that in this relationship, I have been able and allowed, and I don't say like allowed, like, oh, he's allowing me to do it, but I feel like there is nothing that is stopping me from this other person, from being my truest, most authentic self. And I just get weirder and more crazy as time goes on. But I'm so much happier because I'm like, even these things that maybe I don't like about myself or I want to work on and stuff like that, I'm given the space and the opportunity to do that and to explore every avenue, every option that creates the map of whoever the fuck I am, which is always evolving and changing and growing. And there's no like, oh, you have to think this way, or this is the opinion that you have because this is my opinion. And it's so refreshing to find people that you can actually truly be yourself with, especially when you didn't know who you were for so long and you allowed so many things to happen to you to the point that it wasn't even allowing anymore. It was just like, I think I exist, but I exist for this purpose of somebody else. So I'm going to turn myself off from these things, that I'm not going to evaluate it. I'm not going to analyze these things that are happening to me. I can just disassociate it from it, and I can just drink so I can forget. And that doesn't help fucking anything. So I don't know if you are out there listening right now, whether you're a woman or a man, whatever, or they, them, Zer, doesn't matter to me. If you have a story that you want to share, or like, not like everything can, what I want to remind y'all is that anytime that you write into the podcast, if you want to be anonymous, just say at the very top, please don't say my name. I want to be anonymous. That is totally good with me. I am so good if you want to be anonymous, because I completely understand that sharing even just your first name is like too much. It's too much attachment to the thing that I need to share. I need to separate myself from it to share this thing and not feel like I'm judged or like whatever. And that is totally fine. And I understand so fucking completely. Like, I don't have the luxury of being anonymous because, like, I have been in the public space for 12 years now. So I understand wanting to hold on to that. But if you have any questions, you're like, here's this thing that I'm going through. Like, do you think that this is abusive? Do you think that this is a bad situation? Or here's something that I did go through. What are your thoughts on it? Or do you have something to relate to it? Like, is this something that's happened to you? How did you deal with this? How did you learn to do this or that, the other thing? Like, I am happy to talk about those things. I just, for me personally, even though I've know that some people have said like, oh, people can benefit from hearing about your story, it's just that I have so many stories on the back burner. Like it's surprising the amount of things. Like, even now, sometimes with my partner, I'll say like, oh, you know, this and this and this. It's like, that's fucking crazy. I you didn't tell me that. I'm like, oh, I thought I already did. So there's just a lot. I don't really know where to start. But if y'all think that it can be beneficial to you, if you want to hear things, if you want advice or stories that you need to get off your chest, or like some sort of bad relationship, even if it wasn't necessarily like abusive, or if you're like, I don't know if this is a relationship that I should be in, here's like some sort of issue I'm having, I would love to talk to y'all about it. So you can email the podcast at twndpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail at 702-900-6446. You can, and if you know someone who's going through the fucking ringer and they need a laugh, or they just want to talk like and get it off their chest or whatever, you can also just make sure you share the podcast with a friend, because that, I don't know, that's the only way that, you know, people hear it. And I'm not necessarily saying, oh, you have to share it with a friend. Like, I don't think that this podcast is ever going to be something that's some huge fucking crazy studio podcast type thing. I don't think that. I never thought that going in. It was just a way for me to start getting all of my thoughts out, especially when I was starting to go through therapy. And then after I stopped therapy, she was like, hey, this is going great for you. Like, definitely continue this. I think it's something that's healthy for you. And for me, it's just something that I get to kind of unload my thoughts from the week or from the day, or and then kind of share that with people. And I hope that it resonates. And if it does, that's sick. And if not, it's just like my personal little fucking vlog of my life. So that has been the episode, I think. I hope that y'all enjoyed this week. I think that your homework for this week should be to write into the podcast at twndpodcast@gmail.com, twndpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're feeling really brave, send me a voicemail at 702-900-6446. And I say that this is your homework. I know I give normally something that's relative to the episode and things that I talked about, but in this instance, I think, I mean, I have been doing a lot of solo episodes, and I really want to hear from the people that listen, because I know that y'all do. And I think that I've been asking for this for a while. And thank you very much, Naman, for writing in. Thank you for everyone who has left voicemails and emails in the past. I just want to let you know, like, don't be afraid. Like, maybe that's your homework for this week, is like, don't be afraid, whether it's leaving a voicemail or an email, or you're thinking about leaving your relationship, or you're thinking about starting a new one, or you're thinking about some sort of life change. Don't be afraid, because no matter what, it can work out. Everything can work out. It's a matter of time, and it's a matter of just not being afraid. So I hope that you all enjoyed this. Thank you all for listening. Please follow the podcast on X and Instagram at TWND Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at This Redhead Is SFW. And you can also follow me on TikTok at Leave Molly Alone. This has been a show. And we will see you Monday. Come.
The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is presented by TWND Productions, created and hosted by Molly Stewart, co-hosted by Laura Contreras, and produced by David Warren.
David. Good morning, David. It's morning, David. David, David. My hair is stringy. I should shower. Da-na-na.